Well, welcome to segment two of week eight. You're going to hear some more from Barb, and then I just want to share a couple of other things that have come up that I've learned about that I want to pass on to you. And so have a look at what Barb has to share as we talk about strategies to use with persons with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Listen to Barb, and then I will share some more.
I'm excited to think now about some strategies we might be able to use. Again, these will vary very much with the individual that you're thinking about, but I think I can hand to you some overall strategies that I often think about when I'm interacting with a person with an intellectual disability. So, first of all, I would really encourage you to ask the right question. Do you know at this point what that right question might be? Here, I'll give you a choice. What can't this person do? Or what can this person do? Do you remember how I talked about that? How you can ask what can't this person do, but it will lead you to zero strategies to try. If you ask what can this person do, you now have some tools that you can use. And so again, we're talking about those things that allow this person to interact with life in a significant way. So we're looking for, can this person point to something? Can this person have meaningful eye gaze? Can this person delight in a particular movie? Can this person enjoy a smile every time music is played? You know, what is it unique to this person that can be pulled out and be applied to where you are so that you can engage with this person more easily? I think so often, again, a reminder and a strategy, you need to find out how you can use that individual's gift. So what does that person love to do? What is that person good at? How can we employ that? And again, there are many different choices with this. I would say you may have a person who they're going to be a bulletin distributor. That person might have a lot of joy and energy by the door, and that would be a great fit for that person, very social, engaged, and would do that well. You might have somebody who's an offering collector. You might have somebody, an offering collector. I just have to tell this story. There was an individual who had no words to speak, but as an adult, church was her favorite place to go because she was so good at sorting money. And I know that giving now is often done by texting it in, but at this point, it was still all going through these offering plates, right? She was part of the deacon team. She'd go to their deacon parties because she cut so much time off their counting. She would go back with them and would sort all the money that they would count because she was so good at that. And she loved to sort money. So church was this great place to go because it's like way more money than was in most of our piggy banks each week, and it was this joy-filled time. Sometimes, again, a person that I know was called up to be part of a story that the pastor was telling as part of their message, but this person didn't have words to say, so this individual was part of the story as the tree. And the tree was a pivotal part of the story, and so there were different props that were put in this person's hand. But this person was very much, very engaging part of this drama and could do well. They, again, factored in that holding this pose was something this person could do, whereas speaking a part was not going to be successful for this individual. Another individual, one of this person's gifts was being very tall. They had a habit of holding this red cloth over a door. Now go with the blessing of Jesus Christ in your life into the world, and they would drape this cloth between two people over an exit, and people could choose to walk out that exit. And interesting, he was so tall that they made him a permanent spot on one side, whereas his partner would change throughout the months. But it was a wonderful chance. Again, what can this person do? You know what? It might be this, but this person was giving that blessing through that red cloth to people as they were leaving. I have so many possible stories to tell about this. One of them is very personal, and then one that I have heard of happening at a congregation. When we remember to use the gifts, find those places of service for an individual. So one is very personal, and I often say, I think sometimes we have in our mind that there's this Holy Spirit Junior, that there are some people, like children perhaps, or a person with an intellectual disability, that might have less of a Holy Spirit or a Holy Spirit Junior. That concept just isn't there in Scripture, right? So I don't know why I was so surprised by this, but I directed a drama team, and it was an inclusive set of students, and we went from church to church, and it acted out the salvation message. The person played the role of Jesus, happened to have Down syndrome, and he did this in a powerful way. He was a very good actor. But we went out often, and to be honest, it had been a really bad day at my home. Things were not going as planned, but I had to show up, like I'm sure many of you have to do from time to time, and put on that smile and stand up in front of the group and pretend that it was okay. And you know what? I faked out every single person there, except for Jonathan. Why God chose to show Jonathan what was going on, I don't know. But as I was just breathing, because we were almost ready to start the service, and I managed to get everybody in line, we practiced, and we were ready to do this, there he was with his arm around me, and he said, "You sad? I pray." And he did. And I didn't understand all of the words that he said, but it was a powerful prayer. It was a prayer spoken at the pull of the Holy Spirit on his heart for me. God told Jonathan that I was sad, and I faked out every other person in that place, but God busted me through Jonathan, and what healing God brought to my life in the form of that relationship and in that person who cared enough about me to sit beside me and pray for me and was obedient to the Spirit's call to do that. I will never forget that day as just this powerful reminder. Use the gifts. Another story, just because sometimes I think stories are so helpful and instructive. There was a church, and I wrote about this in a book I wrote called Bodybuilding, which is a series of devotions. So if you have that and read it, you'll recognize this. But it's it was a story that came from a church. There was a family there, a couple. They were going to have a baby, and through testing, they had found out that this baby was going to have Down syndrome. And they were really asking God a lot of questions. What does this mean? Would this baby ever talk? Would this baby eat pizza? Would this baby ever say, "I love you, Mom"? What would this baby be like? Would this baby ever know God? They didn't know. They had all these questions and were given the option, of course, to terminate the pregnancy. In fact, it was being sort of pushed on them. So as they were praying about this, they opened up a flyer that they had gotten. And it had several churches in the area, and they picked one at random. Well, they thought it was at random, right? They just picked one. It seemed close to their house. They thought they'd show up. They didn't go very often, but they thought today they should. Well, since we don't have a God that does much at random, you won't be surprised that this church that they chose happened to really value making sure everybody could use their gifts in that place. So sure enough, they walk in the door, and who greets them but a young man with Down syndrome who is friendly, engaging, welcoming to that place. And the person and found out they were visiting, and as he was bringing them to the visitor station, which is how they handled it in this church, this couple just burst into tears. And by the time they got mopped up and you know, back together, they just expressed, "God answered every one of our questions in the form of the man who greeted us today by the door." At random? No, that's why God uses his kingdom players. When we're put into play, when we're given the chance to be in action, God doesn't do things at random, but carefully selected this church that valued the gifts of each person who was there, put that young man who had gifts for greeting, gifts for welcoming, gifts for enthusiasm at that door, so God could send that couple who gave birth to that little child with Down syndrome who grew up in that family and in that family of God. What a powerful story. We need to make sure all of our kingdom players are at bat, that we all are in there doing our jobs. And I just think those are two examples, one very personal, one very powerful too, from another church community. And I would dare guess if we opened it up for stories, they would come pouring in. The things that we have learned, the ways that we have grown, the gifts that persons with intellectual disabilities or whatever have poured into our lives. Those people who had been routinely separated into institutions, cut off from society, put down in another room, whatever it might be. Boy, when we do life together, that's where we can really learn and grow with one another. So, use the gifts. There, enough enthusiasm about that.
So glad you can hear from Barb. Again, I just want to share a little bit of some things that I've experienced since Barb's passing because I want to pass them on to you. So a couple of experiences that I think can be really helpful as we think about individuals with intellectual disabilities are some adaptations that have worked well. So some things like using bells to be a part of the bell choir during singing if using their words and voices is not an option for them. Participating in drama and acting out Bible stories is a favorite of many people with intellectual disabilities. And I got the joy of being a part of actually a basketball trivia game at one Bible study, specifically with people with intellectual disabilities. And they loved shouting out the trivia answers, and that meant that they could go then and shoot hoops until they made the basket. And so there's just a lot of fun ways to adapt what it means to be a part of our Bible study time, our learning time, our worship time, and our fellowship times, and our service times. So one thing that I thought was a brilliant option from someone was to light a candle for a prayer concern or a joy. So again, an option when words are not our specific avenue of choice to be offering a prayer. But here's what one student in the USA says from a previous version of this course. So the student says, I have many examples to choose from, but I want to talk about my daughter. She's so loving and kind. She cares about all people and animals. She'll do anything you ask of her, even if she doesn't know how. Sometimes these are her pinks as well, some of the areas of struggle. But she has difficulty communicating how to do things and struggles to understand them. So things like the dishes may not be put away in the right or even a decent spot or may not have been washed with soap. She might get upset when she can't understand or she misunderstands something that was said to her. And in these moments, she has a harder time calming herself down. So she's been put to work using her gifts, though. So listen to this. She makes cards. She helps to clean up after potlucks and so much more. She brings a smile to everyone's face at church, and she truly is a gift from God. Another student, this person in Latvia, says, sometimes my friend finds it difficult to understand what's being said during the message. Placing the main points of the message on a screen and adding pictures to assist him in understanding what is being said, he can retain the points of the message. And finally, this person in the U.S. shares that in our congregation, many people happen to have disabilities, and there are children and adults who have Down syndrome. And in our Sunday school, someone who cannot walk, talk, or feed herself and uses a wheelchair to get around. And so in our Sunday school, we have so many children and people in our Sunday school that have a variety of disabilities and diagnoses. And since our church has hundreds of people with vast differences in abilities, we have tools that allow everyone to join our congregation. My church has a program called Buddy Up, where children who need extra attention can worship and learn about Jesus in an environment where they feel comfortable, while their guardians get to participate in church without distraction. And so I want to share these stories and examples from students. I know there's some of the concepts that we've already talked about throughout this course, but I just want you to know that students are trying them. Churches are doing these things, and it's helping. I do want to note that this person was talking about that buddy up and allowing their families to worship separately, and just reiterate that we don't want to separate or segregate people, but sometimes it is more appropriate to do things at an individual level while their families might be doing something a little bit different. So if we could do things all together, like light a candle that doesn't require words, that's going to be a very inclusive practice. And if we might have someone who goes to be a part of the bell choir for a time, that might be separate from their other family members who are worshiping using their words at that time. And that could be done together, but it might be we need to go to practice that at separate times, right? So just want to think about that. I want you to hear from Barb now for a few more minutes as she talks about some other strategies and as she talks more specifically about that kind of buddy up idea and what that can be pictured like and some of the beautiful things that come from those stories. So have a listen to Barb.
Many times, whether you call them buddies, friends, whether you call them sidekicks, I don't know what word, friendships, you're pairing people up. Discussion partners, I don't know, whatever word you think includes the fact that we are two puzzle pieces that are choosing to link together, share our gifts with each other, and compensate for one another's areas of need. That would be buddies, right? So together you can do the class. Together you can be part of youth group. Together you're part of an adult Bible study, whatever that might be. And just in case you were wondering, that's my son John. That's his friend Ryan. They've been together a lot of years. And they're both significantly older now. But just a fun thing. They were in that inclusive drama together, so they formed this bond that I know doesn't break. They go out to movies together. They prefer each other. And that's just a beautiful story of friendship as well. So buddies can be helpful. And I think, think about how we pair up. Please don't train people to take care of somebody with an intellectual disability. Train up people to be part of one another's lives in that puzzle piece matchup. Multisensory approach, how many times have we said this in how many areas, but it's really important. Again, bring in those extra pieces. You can be part of a worship service, but what if this person, if the pastor knows that this person would do well with a couple of pictures or a couple of objects to really make it meaningful, could you arrange for that? Would somebody be responsible for pulling those together? Should it be the pastor or somebody that the pastor designates to say, hey, would you make sure that you get Hank these three items before the worship service today? I have a copy too I'm going to hold up, but let's bring them close to Hank. What would make that meaningful for Hank? So a multisensory approach is important. I love this phrase, and maybe this can help guide, especially as we think about inclusive settings. The same space, same time, same activity, possibly different goals. So again, we've got the same materials, but the goal might be, instead of creating this beautiful masterpiece, it might be sniffing the paper into different pieces of snow that's going to be glued onto something. So again, it can happen in the same place in the same time, but there might be some different goals. Maybe we've got some materials that allow us to enter in. So we've got the same Bible story, but we've got some different ways of introducing those. So I hope that that's a helpful image in being together. I suppose it's possible to say, Barb, why are you really pushing for that togetherness? And I think partly because I've witnessed so many of those exclusion times. And not only did that lead to great hardship and persecution, for lack of a better term, in the U.S., but I often think our students, especially here, are used to going to school with people of all abilities. They're part of classrooms together and PE together and art class together. They go to the library and people are together. People are together, and then we get to church, and what a second grader is seeing is they're seeing that people with disabilities go to room 7. So instead of Rachel being part of this group, Rachel is being sent away. Well, you've clearly communicated to those second graders what happens to people with disabilities in a church setting. We can be together in school. We can be together in the library. We can be together in the grocery store, the movie theater, but we can't be together in church because it's room 7. But I would contend if they have had a chance to be together, not only do you set the stage for some of those stories that I told you earlier about friendships and about opportunities to know one another, yep, we might need to bring in some different people or activities, but we've created a community where people value one another's puzzle pieces. We've given people a chance to know what that's like. And when those second graders grow up to be the Bible study leaders, the people who are in charge of writing the litany for Easter, how easy will it be for them to write a part for Rachel into the litany because they've done that since second grade? She's just part of the community. How do we build that kind of place where it's just normal? It's just what we do. That's how we live life here at this church. So I would encourage you to think about that. Think about the message that you're not just sending to Rachel, but you're sending to Rachel's peers and what happens in that setting. So clearly, I think it's important that we consider that. And yet I'll concede that there are some times when a church has come to me and said, but Barb, this is not working. We can't not keep this child in the space. We've had one that they can't be by any germs. It will cause significant issues. We've had another where that setting just sets off so many behaviors that there are so many risks for people who are part of that environment. And I said, well, okay, but then could we have some separate spaces but figure out a way to keep people together? And so this one church had a great plan. They sort of had a space, but they also shared a prayer wall. So in the fourth grade, where this child was would have been a fourth grader, they put up a picture of the child. They got prayer requests from the child's parents every week. They would pray for their friend. When they walked into church together, they would greet their friend. And also, that friend would sometimes make things for the other fourth graders in that separate space. So they were preserving the body as much as they could, while also acknowledging that in order to do life at this congregation, this particular child needed to be in a different arena. And they kept, again, trying to make forays into that area. And until it worked, they had some options built in for that person in personalized planning. So again, that's my bias only because we learn from each other. We need one another. And had Jonathan not prayed for me that day, I would have been left in a really difficult place. God could use Jonathan in that setting. So I just think, be careful with that when you build separate room sevens. Be careful with that. But part of that then is also acknowledging that we need to equip our peers and leaders. And again, there are so many different ways to do that. We're going to dive into that even more in the last session, but I just really wanted to highlight that again here, is preparing people to see the gifts, handing out those eyeglasses, letting them understand how this person communicates. What is that like? I was absolutely delighted. I was at Zealand Christian the other day, and there's some fourth graders who've been together a long time. And the girl that's part of this group, it is this natural belonging friendship that happens. And this little girl, she, as a fourth grader, still has very few words to say. Her IQ, you know, I would guess is maybe in the 30s, would be my guess. That's considered in the fairly low range for a person with an intellectual disability. But giant smile, and they're making baskets together, and they're cheering for each other. This little girl has had invited all the girls to her birthday party. Everyone came, and now this other child who is in a wheelchair and needs significant self-care, they're inviting her over for sleepovers. I have no clue how they're figuring out the arrangements, but they'll figure it out. They just want to be together. And so, again, I think in many congregations, this child would have been in some kind of perhaps another space, but I watched what happens as these girls continue to be together, and guys in the class too, but these bonds that have formed, and they love each other, and what a gift that they've had to be together. So again, sometimes we have to use those times to equip our peers and leaders. We've spent a lot of time so that they understand how to communicate, what makes her smile, what doesn't make her smile, and they know, and they prefer each other. So that, again, is part of that. We've given a lot of strategies in the autism section, so I will just say, as we think about this, that one of the other things that we'll need to talk through is mix and match those strategies. Yep. Maybe it's a timer. Maybe it's not one with a clock face. Maybe you're going to use this time tracker instead, where it starts at green, goes to yellow, and when time's up, this red lights up, so you're not distracted with a clock face. A speech button, it's pictures, it's fabric, it's what do you need? I don't know. Might need sound blockers. You have to get to know that individual and remember to ask the right question, which is, yes, what can this person do?